Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I am thrilled because today I have with me Camille McKenzie. Camille is a certified lifestyle coach, and her primary mission in life is to help women transform their lives by inspiring, educating, and empowering them on how to liberate themselves from whatever factor is preventing them from living a fulfilling life of freedom. And we all want more of that. Camille, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Vicki.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love what you're doing. I love your new book. And I'd like for those that haven't had the wonderful opportunity to meet you yet or get to know you, can you tell us a little bit about your story that led up to this life of passion and purpose that you're living now?
Thanks, Vicki, for the question. Yes, my background is pretty much I would have to take you back to when I was a little girl. It all started to me, started about 10 years old when I moved from New York City to Connecticut. We were immigrants. We came to this country from Jamaica originally, and then we moved to New York. And from New York, my father at a young age, he decided that it was appropriate for us to move to a more suburban place because he saw the horizons of crime and all of that that surrounded us in the Bronx, and he didn't want his daughters to be in that environment. So we moved from New York to Connecticut, and in Connecticut, while it was a very beautiful environment, great to raise a family, I met with trouble once I got to school. When I got to school, I was met with bullying, and because I was a new kid on the block, I was an easy target. And because I didn't say anything, the bullying continued until I was in high school, actually. So from 10 years old to high school, this bullying was incessant. And the target feature that they had for me was my physical feature, one of them being my lips, and also my height. The height didn't bother me so much, but for some reason, the lips issue really went deep. And it made me feel as if I was inferior, that I wasn't beautiful. And I couldn't understand how people who looked very much like me were criticizing me. And so it began a journey of just feeling a sense of I was not worthy, and I really didn't deserve to take up space here on Earth because I was just this ugly little thing that was walking around planet Earth that didn't belong here. And fast forward to 2014, that was when everything for me changed. It was really the time in my life where I decided to take back my personal power. Because you have to understand, up to this point, I was seeking to address some of these issues that were happening internally inside of me, but I was dealing with a lot of frustration and not really finding my way out. I didn't know how to really deal with these feelings that I felt about myself and how low I felt about me. So in 2014, after hearing a lot of inspirational messages from some of those motivational speakers like Les Brown and Tony Robbins, I went to an event there, and Eric Thomas, and I went also to Lisa Nichols' Motivating the Masses, her seminar there in California. Something clicked inside of me like it never did before, and I realized that opportunities at the same time were opening up for me to use my gift. So I had a decision to make. Was I going to leap forward into my destiny and take my personal power back, or was I continuing to play small in the world? And I decided that I would do the former. I was going to take back my personal power.
So what made you decide to make that change? And where did you gather the power from to be able to do that and really step out there?
Yeah, the power ultimately comes back to God. He was there with me from I was 10 years old. He found me when I couldn't have actually found him. I wasn't looking for him, wasn't interested in him, but somehow he found my little heart at 10 years old. And on and off, I've had a relationship with him, but it was a relationship, although that it ran deep, it didn't affect how I felt about me. I didn't think he had the power really at the end of the day to really deal with me. But in 2014, I really realized that I had to seek him as to how can I put the pieces together to begin to change my mind about me, how I felt about me. And that's where the power of the seven steps that I've written about comes in. Because through the power of changing my thoughts, through the words in which I spoke about myself, to being grateful for the person that I was, to learning the power of contentment, being content with the way things were, not wishing for what it is that it could be, all of those type of ingredients that I talk about in the book through the seven steps, that began to come together in helping me to step out of where I was in stepping into the woman that I now have become.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So tell us about your book. First of all, the title and what the experience was to actually decide to write a book.
Right. Well, the title came, I think, by inspiration. I was walking one day, and it was happened to be a very, very long walk. I don't think I've walked that long ever in my life. And as I was walking, I remember saying, whispering to God, you know, God, this feels like this is just like a long walk this morning to freedom. And as I said those words, I was like, God, that sounds like maybe that could be a title for a book. But then I remembered instantaneously that Nelson Mandela's title was Long Walk to Freedom. And so I knew that I didn't want it to be the same title. And so the word journey came up and the word road came up. And then I decided with my husband that journey seemed more appropriate because the journey that I was on, as well as where I'm going to take my readers on, I believe is the journey. It's not just about a road. A road may end, but a journey is something that is continuous. And I want my reader to know that in becoming their best self, that's not just a one-time deal. That's a continuous journey where they will find healing and growth and become their best self. And the process of writing the book was amazing in that I had a coach that really helped me to find the time to see in my schedule where I could find the time to do it because I was having a lot of issues with how busy my life was and being able to find the time. But once I actually found the time in the wee early mornings, about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, to sometimes 7 o'clock in the morning, I was writing. So you could take anywhere from 2 to 7 in the morning. I was writing, and that ended up being the time where I felt the most inspiration came. In any event, what ended up happening during that time is that I was able to just feel the sense of God's presence with me as I crafted the words that would come on the page and ultimately the words that I believe that my audience will be able to resonate with. So it was a wonderful experience. Writing a book is work, but it's a very good work, good labor. I consider it a labor of love.
So I love your book, Long Journey to Freedom, and I was wondering if you could share with us what contribution you hope both your book and your really powerful program might make to the world.
Yeah, the contribution I pray that it will make to the world is that some young girl somewhere, that's who I'm mostly thinking about when I wrote the book. I mean, while for me the audience is ultimately women who can range from anywhere from 20 years old to 50 or even 60 years old. That's a wide range, right? But at the end of the day, my hope is really for that young girl that perhaps her mom sees the book and she picks it up and she gives it to her young daughter. And that young daughter would meet a particular profile. She is the girl that is already feeling a sense that she's not worth it. She's not good enough. She's not pretty enough. She is not the person that she wants to be, and she doesn't like who she is. And I'm praying and hoping that when she sees that book and she picks it up and she sees within my story, her story, that she'll be inspired to do whatever it takes to get rid of those feelings that she has about herself that aren't good, to become a more empowered young girl that says, you know what, I'm not these negative things, but I am better than who I think I was. And that she would at that very young age, begin to understand her power and beauty using the seven steps. That is my hope, that she would be able to not have my 27 years be her 27 years, that the book would be a shortcut to her personal journey, that she would not have to go around for so many years of her life just not knowing who she is and not being able to contribute to the world in a way that she could, because she's so stuck in a cycle of just low self-esteem or low self-image. And the thing, Vicki, is that when I think about this issue and doing some of the research for the book, I realized that about 4% of the world, this was done by a Dove study, 4% of women in the world consider themselves beautiful. And they, Dove, as many people may be aware of, has taken a campaign that has gone global to help young girls in particular to be able to realize that they're beautiful, that you're intelligent, that they don't have to play second fiddle to anyone. And it's because of the statistics that they have seen that there's so many young girls and even women, as I said, 4% of women in the world actually would say that they're beautiful. The rest do not associate that word with themselves. And this is why we have some of the issues that we do in society, because young girls grow into young women who still feel that they are not enough. And my hope is that in someone reading this book, particularly a young girl, or a woman who realizes that it's not too late for her, that she can still be able to fulfill the life of her dream if she so chooses.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And that statistic is absolutely startling.
Yes, it is.
It really is. It's startling and it's truly sad. Truly sad.
Yeah.
So I was curious as to if you have maybe, I know you have seven really powerful steps in the book, but can you give us maybe just two or three tips that you think would really help people to get on the road to having really great self-acceptance and self-esteem?
Right. All right. Well, I want to share the first one, which I think is really a great antidote for whatever ails you, and that's the power of gratitude. Gratitude may seem very small, but it's really a powerhouse and it's quite big. Once you start it, it grows. And all of these seven steps, I want to make it clear that they're kind of like, I don't know, it's like you plant a seed and the seed gets bigger and bigger. And the more you focus on something, the more it grows. And so as a result of that, if someone starts with just a tiny step and says, say they don't feel good about who they are, and they find one thing per day to focus on, or they can maybe switch it around and say, I will take one thing and focus on that for as long as it takes for my mind to change. For instance, say they look at themselves and say, okay, you know what, I can't say anything right now physically I like about myself, but I do recognize that I'm intelligent. Then they can begin to just start to, every day, using the power of words, this is another step, they can audibly begin to say to themselves, you know what, I am grateful that I am an intelligent person and I can make contributions to the world because of that intelligence. And every day, several times a day, and not just out loud, but also in your thoughts, when other thoughts about, well, you don't look good or whatever comes up, they replace that you don't look good to, well, thank God I'm at least intelligent. You know, and if they are able to do that every day until that belief changes, then they will find that you will change. Because one of the other steps, the power of thought, where I talk about this to the readers, that we have to realize how our minds are wired or how our brains work in order for change to happen. Whatever we believe about ourselves is ultimately lodged in our thoughts and our beliefs. And thoughts work this way in that we have literally neural pathways in our brains. You consider it like a field. You have a field that's well-traveled and you have another field that is not well-traveled. The field that's well-traveled is a field that is like the thought that you've had for like 5, 10, 15 years. You've gone that thought process over and over again. That's considered a neural pathway in your brain. So easy for you to think that because there's an established path in your brain, literally, for you to think that thought. So when you're creating now a new thought, it's like creating a new field. And if you imagine a field that has just grass on it, and now you have to create an actual path, you understand that it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some effort on your part, because what the brain will do is that it'll default back to the old field if you don't create a new field. So in order to be able to think better thoughts about who you are, you have to first realize that it's a process where you're going to have to be patient, because you're going to have to think this new thought over and over and over again, like what I just mentioned in the example of gratitude. it's best to stay with that particular thought over and over and over again until you really have begun to change. You see that your thinking and everything, your perception truly is this new belief. And so you have to stick with that. And then as you stick with that, what literally is happening in your brain is that a new path, a new field now has been created. So now you believe that you're intelligent and you're grateful for your intelligence. So you have to stick with it. But if someone is to recognize the power of thoughts in that way, as well as the power of gratitude, which has the ability to really boost your happiness by about 25%. Robert Emmons, he's a preeminent scholar in the world on gratitude. He has done a lot of research on it, and he said in the event that someone is thinking that gratitude ultimately is not something that is, you know, going to affect their life, it increases your happiness by 25%. And other studies have shown that if someone does a gratitude journal for at least, they write something down for about 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, their happiness can increase by 10%. That really is the equivalent of doubling your income. That's how much more joy and happiness will come in your life just by being grateful. So I would want people to take the takeaway that really happy people are really grateful people. And at the end of the day, grateful people are the ones who are happy. Some people may say, well, those people may have stuff to be happy about, Camille, so that's why they can be grateful. No. Grateful people have, just like me and you, a lot of things in their life that may not be what they want it to be. But through the power of choice, which is another one of my 7 steps, through the power of choice, they choose to be grateful for the things in their life that they do have and to focus on that rather than to focus on what they don't have. And the last thing I would say about that is a great person who is an example of a positive, great outlook on gratitude and the power of thought and the power of words and the power of choice. These, once again, are just some of the 7 steps that are in the book. A great person who's a wonderful example of that, who is now one of my role models, is Alice Heard Summer. A documentary was made about her. It won an Academy Award. Lady in Number 6 is the name of the documentary. But Alice Heard Summer was the oldest Holocaust survivor in the world. She lived to 110 years old. And she proved through her life that the power of thinking well, the power of choosing to focus on that which is good rather than that which is bad, the power of being grateful, the power of using your words so that they're constructive rather than deconstructive, whether you're talking about yourself or other people, that all of those things together will form a life of great joy and will form a life of a belief that you can do anything in spite of whatever obstacles are in your way.
Yeah, and it can be, like you say, a small shift that makes a world of difference if you do it regularly.
Yes.
That is so beautiful, as are you, and as is your book and your programs. I know that Long Journey to Freedom, everyone can find that on Amazon. Tell us where they can find out more about your programs.
If they go to my website, www.longjourneytofreedom.com, they'll be able to see a little bit more about me as well as the 7-step programs that I have created. And it is my hope that if they are interested, that they will contact me to learn more about it. In the book, I go through those 7 steps, but I could have been a lot more detailed about it. The books have been written about each of these separate, but I didn't think that was for my reader. I didn't want them to get bogged down in too much information and just too much details. I wanted them to get the essence of what each of these steps mean for their lives. And then if they're willing to take a journey deeper in. But I didn't want them to get too overwhelmed. I wanted them to just get the essence of the powerhouses of all these 7 steps.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Well, Camille, in parting, and I hate because you just have so much great wisdom and information to share, but did you have any thoughts in parting?
I would just encourage anyone who is out there that has been living their life in a way that they know deep inside is not really the life that they want to live. Particularly, I would ask them this question that Donna Markova asks. She says, are you living the life that wants to live within you? I would want you to take a good look at yourself and really be honest with yourself. And if the answer to that question is no, I would ask you, why not? And if you answer that question, well, okay, I'm not doing this, then I would ask you to delve deeper into the solution. The solution, yes, is the seven steps, and that's well documented. That each of these steps on their own are quite powerful. But whether you take that journey with me or you choose to take that journey on your own, I would encourage you to live the life that wants to live within you. And what that ultimately means is that whatever dreams, whatever aspirations, whatever things that you want to do on this earth, that you would get about doing them now. Because life is so fickle, as all of us know, and we don't know what the next hour is promised to us. I lost my husband at a very young age, my first husband. I talk about that in the book, and that message came home. So what I want for you is not only that you would be able to recognize whatever is stopping you and to address that from living that life that wants to live within you, but I want you to go from somewhere to somewhere. I want you to go from that person who's not living that life that wants to live within you to the person who is living the life that wants to live within them, is fulfilling the dreams that they know that they can fulfill. And, you know, Miles Monroe said this, and he says the wealthiest place in the world is the graveyard, because there you'll find so many inventions that were never invented, so many books that were never written, so many things that could have been done in this world that would have made this world a better place. The world needs you. The world needs everything that is placed within you for us to be better. So I challenge you to rise up in your own life and to stop playing small and to live the life that wants to live within you and live your greatness.
So beautiful. So everyone, you can find the book, Long Journey to Freedom, on Amazon. And by all means, visit Camille's website, longjourneytofreedom.com, and there you'll find just a wealth of more information and be able to connect with Camille. Camille, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Vicki.
And for those of you out there who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcasts and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And have a fabulous week.